All right, come on in. Come on in. All right, morning, morning. All right, we have several verses. I'm going to divvy out, so you, if you'd be so kind to volunteer. Yes, ma'am. There will be a test. So I'll let you get your, get your swords out. All right, wonderful. Matthew 25, 4 through 13. Okay, I got a reader. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Ephesians 3, got a reader. James 5, 11. James. Romans 12, 1 through 17. Romans 12, Wes, thank you, brother. Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. Ephesians 4, Lynette. Now, Galatians 3, 26 through 29. Galatians 3, 26 through 20. Thank you. Sister Carla's got that. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Galatians 6 and... Okay, thank you. And if we have time, Philippians 4, 1 through 9. I have that one. Okay.
What was that one?
Philippians 4, 1 through 9.
What chapter was James?
James is 5, 11. Chapter 5, verse 11. All right. Okay. So a little preamble to this and the verses to help us understand what is going on. And what I'm saying is what is going on. You don't have to go far to listen to the news to understand what's been happening in the Middle East. I mean, the war between Gaza, Israel, Iran. Now the United States is heavily involved. With that, United States is going to be involved for a long time. And as we know, there's already military casualties. An unknown amount of deaths that has already been laid to waste on those continents. And so we're going to read Matthew 24, verses 4 through 13. Matthew 24, 4 through 13. I'm sorry, 24. Matthew 24, 4 through 13, and Kathy has that. And read loud, please.
Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I'm the Christ,' and many will deceive. You will hear of wars, rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, earthquakes, in various places, and all of these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and in many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved."
Well, that's a mouthful. That's a mouthful. I mean, that is a prelude to reality. And we know as we look back in time, there's always been wars and rumors of wars. And then so I look at it in a different perspective because I am a combat soldier. I was on the battlefield. We did lose comrades, and we, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it has a different meaning than most people who've never been on a battlefield. The reality is real. And it's can't overemphasize how real it is. So, but how do we, on this side of the cross, deal with what has been written here? Many, many centuries ago, that this was already known to happen, it will happen, it is happening. And so the phrase here, two that stood out while she was reading was that many will wax cold. Do you find that true?
Mm-hmm. You walk out the door, you see it.
You do? And then also that the admonishment for us at the last verse 13 there, I'm sorry. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. That's a promise. That's a promise. Yes, ma'am.
Well, that's why I think it's so important. We know times will get worse. So it's important that we stay in the Word, so we stay deeply rooted in Christ. So when times of adversity come, we know where to go to for that strength that we're going to need to survive this. We can say all day long, you know, I'm going to stay firm. I can say, I'm not so sure if I would be that firm. That's a scary thing to think about. And the only way I can see that I will get through that is with the help of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Especially if you have people that you've known that grow cold.
Yeah.
You know, in the brotherhood.
That would be scary. It is. And so, but we do have resources available to them that they may not have leveraged to their advantage. And that is the prayer on their behalf.
Yes.
You know, we still have the avenue of prayer, which we know can change people in God's own time. That, I'm just reminded now when you said that, is about the son who demanded his inheritance from his dad right away. Mm-hmm. And then off he wandered and he squandered it. He squandered it. So the riches that we have with Christ Jesus are available to us, but not for us to squander. But at the point being, too, that he finally got to that point in his life when he finally realized the error of his ways. And unfortunately, I call that the school of hard knocks. But he finally learned or come to the realization, my father's servants have it better than I do. Mm-hmm. I will apologize and go back to him and say, I'm not worthy to be called your son. See, he realized what he had to do. But see, for us, I learned from that, he has to come to that point. He has to come to that realization and make it right, and then come back.
A lot of us can't get past our pride.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I mean, that's a reality, and we need to discuss it and bring it up so that we understand that there is a difference between God's love and then our love. If our love gets in the way, there you go. I mean, and so, good morning, good morning. Good morning. Welcome, welcome. We're talking about the conflicts that are happening overseas and how that the wars and rumors of wars have been predicted or written about many, many centuries ago. So that's what we're discussing right now. Okay, Amy, Ephesians 3. 20 through 21, Ephesians 3, 20 through 21.
Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
That's one of the leverage points, if you will, to our advantage. Because it states there, he can, and he does. The point being for us is to, do we believe it? Has our faith grown enough to understand that he does what he says he's going to do? that what is written is truth. It is truth. He will. And that's because he loves all of his children. And that's why he wants to do that. So again, even though we may have, concerns, hopefully our faith and trust in the Lord will bring us to a point where we're not worried, to the point of distraction, to the point of being dysfunctional, to the point of being, well, unchristian, you know, that you give up on life. Oh, again, that's not for us to do, because we have the benefit. We have what we call in the military the force multiplier. When you have Christ in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, it's amazing what you can do with the gift of the Lord. And let me use this as a kind of a worldly example. That if a mother is outside in the front yard, working in the yard, and she's got babies inside the house, and the house is burning, guess who would not even hesitate of running through the fire to get the babies? And the dad, and the brother, and the sister, all those who care for the loved ones will do it without hesitation. Christ already knew what he had to go through to offer his gift of love from God to each and every one of us. He went through the proverbial fire, if you will, for all of us. We have that blessing. We have that benefit. He has demonstrated his love. Much like the mother who would go through the fire to get the child and run back out, she demonstrated her love. Yes, ma'am.
Well, we have to remember as Christians, even though Christ said that to the disciples and the apostles, rather, I think it applies to us as well, as he said, when I go, I won't leave you alone. I will send you a comforter and a helper. We have that same avenue. We can go to that Holy Spirit. And I say it over and over again, we don't call on the Holy Spirit often enough, which is a helpmate to us. It's somebody that can give us the strength to go through things that we need to go through. And I say it over and over again, we need to call on him more often and make him a part of our lives.
Yes, yes. And that's, again, it's like any kind of relationship. If you want to invest the time, you will invest the time. And hopefully for the right reasons. Of course, and not selfish reasons, has been like been pointed out, that it's genuine love, genuine concern, and of course that is another attribute of being a Christian, is doing that. There's many examples, but I'm just going to throw out a few, that because I believe everyone can do this as a brother and sister. I know it's old fashioned. Write a letter.
Well, I see, just look at the difference mm-hmm. of the apostles before they received the Holy Spirit. You had these scared men that would hide and stuff, yet when they received the Holy Spirit, they were bold. And I think we have that same avenue. We have the same sources to go to that get that boldness to be firm for Christ.
Yes, yes. And so, again, that's developing that relationship. We bring that into our lives through prayer, exactly. through study, and then also meditation. You know, Christ went into, we have many examples where he spent quiet time together, so he can listen to his Father's will. And for us, it's the same avenue to make it a point to set aside time in your, well, it's really God's day. To set a time in the day to reflect, contemplate, and then check yourself. You know, when we do pray, is it, Father, I want this. I would love to have this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I believe the Scripture tells us to pray in accordance with His will. And don't ask for things that you ask for wrong motives. And so, again, just a suggestion as to what I see in Scripture, Father, what would you have me do for you today? How would you use me today? And that's where the Holy Spirit will come in and maybe prompt you to do something that's out of your comfort zone. I'm just throwing this out. You're checking out at the grocery store. Go up to the lady and say, God bless you. Or some kind of sincere sentiment. Don't be fake. They know it right off the bat. But I think it seems you're a little distressed. Is there anything I can pray with you, for you? And you'll take it as an example. Yes, ma'am. Go on.
In this verse that Amy read, it just kind of popped out at me. To him who is able to do more than all we ask or imagine, and then here it is, according to his power that is at work within us. So if we haven't had a relationship with him, how can he work in us? We say, oh, I'm going to pray for you, but I will pray for you or something, but you don't even believe it yourself. You've got to trust. Amen. Pray for somebody for me because they're having a hard time. Well, I will, but if the Lord is not at work within them, according to his power, am I reading that wrong? To him be the glory in the church. So he's talking to Christians here, mm-hmm. So I guess it is. It's not for the unbeliever. Mm-hmm. It's for the believer. That you have a relationship, and he'll work with you if you've got a relationship. If you're a humble, just, okay, I'm a Christian on such and such a day, and I go home and I myself the rest of the time. It ain't happening. He can't work in you.
Right, because, again, our responsibility to him for what he has given us, and we see it time and time again, the Word, the Holy Spirit, prayer, each other. I mean, his whole plan is for us to live well according to his will, and you'll be okay. But again, it's like a friend. When you have a good friend, someone, hopefully you have someone in your life that you can ask, and you know that they will do everything within their power to do it. You know that they would. And if, for example, if I needed to be dropped off at the airport or picked up at the airport, if I called certain people and it's my friend, I can not worry about it. There's no concern anymore because we have that relationship that we've developed that he will, she will be there barring anything beyond their control. Flat tire, you know. Go ahead.
Do you have anybody that would do that besides her? Take you to the airport?
Besides her.
Tom?
I'm sure you do. The whole budget.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
You have somebody would do that for you? Other than your wife?
Yeah.
Have some good friends.
Sisters. Brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's
too. You would too, Langley? You come and
no, I don't have nobody do that for me.
No, but you do that for me.
You ask. As I see.
Would you help me out?
I guess I would. I don't know.
You guess?
Well, see,
I don't know if I can trust you.
But see,
my mom, I ain't got nobody would do that for me.
That's the point, is that if we develop a relationship, and it takes on both sides, develop that relationship, and sometimes it takes longer than others to develop that relationship, to get to know someone to the point where you can trust them, feel comfortable with sharing their issues, like I say, Amy, pray for me on this regard, you know. So, again.
Do it 5, 3, or 4 days a week.
Yeah.
They wouldn't say, hey, I'm running all my gas.
Do it for you.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I just want to know.
Yeah.
He just wanted to know how to trust. And do we have, and I understand where he's coming from. And he's voicing something. He's voicing to us, I don't have that. He wants that.
Yeah,
this is what he's
watching
to us now.
Yeah, and so again, it's something that the Lord has provided to each of us through each of us, if you will. And so it's like the old saying, way back in Genesis, am I my brother's keeper? And the answer is yes. Am I my sister's keeper? The answer is
yes.
And so, but when you leave here in the confines of this congregation and you go to other congregations like we have, some people struggle with that because you're not from my congregation. Mm-hmm. That's true. That's a given. I'm not. But we are all in the Lord's body.
Amen.
You know? And so it's hard for them to sometimes grasp that concept and said, so why are you embracing this sister? Because she needs a hug. Mm-hmm. But you don't know her. She's my sister. Mm-hmm. Other than just that. So again, there's that thing to try to overcome. Is that our responsibility is to each other no matter where we are.
Amen.
Again, so okay, let's keep going on. James 5:11.
As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen that the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy.
So, hopefully all of us are familiar with the story of Job. Mm-hmm. And the discourse that was presented for our learning today, that how he was blessed, even though he went through some terrible experiences that no one would want to try to go through today if they had the choice. But nonetheless, it's there for our learning that he did not curse God. He did not fault God because of what was going on. He, in fact, he said, it is, I guess I know I'm paraphrasing, it is God who gives, it's God who takes away. That's a sober understanding of his position in life. And that should be our understanding of our position in life. That if God has been so good to us for all these many years, and now I just found this issue, does that discount everything that's happened in the past? I say far too many Christians do that. They're emotionally based, not soundly based on faith in the principles written in the Word. Their emotions get the best of them, and they make awful decisions. For example, I forget where it was, but the father had asked the Lord that if I am blessed with this victory, I will give you the first thing that comes out of the door of my house.
Mm-hmm.
Not a very wise thing, in my opinion, to make a deal with the Lord. Not that anyone should make a deal with the Lord, but he articulated this. And so now it has to come to pass. It's unfortunate that that took place. But again, the point being, watch what you say. Don't get emotionally so wrapped up in the circumstances that you regret saying what you said. And somebody else has to pay the price for your shortcoming. It was his daughter. And I admire her daughter. Because she told her dad, after he was informed, she informed him, her, of what he'd done. She said, let it be so. Let it be so.
Great faith.
Great faith. Again, something we could learn from youngsters. Wes, Romans 12, 1 through 17. Ooh, and then we're going to have to finish off with that, brother.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having been gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. In ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who sows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lacking in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men.
Right there, that just those 17 verses could be a whole series of lessons how we as Christians should conduct ourselves. Mm-hmm. That's it in a nutshell. But of course, there's many other verses that tells us how we should conduct ourselves. But a couple of things I want to bring out from that reading. The measure of faith has been given to us. We've been given a measure. Granted, there's those whose faith will move mountains. Excuse me?
He promised that to all of us.
He did. He promised to all of us. But their faith in the measure they have, they will take that and move mountains. Whereas others' faith will cower. They don't nurture it. They don't believe in it. They don't sustain it, whatever. But unfortunately, you can extinguish the Spirit's flame if you're not careful. Mm-hmm. And so, but again, the point being, he's already given. Mm-hmm. You have it. Mm-hmm. Use it. And again, the examples in the scripture about giving, it was encouraging, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, we've all been given the gifts. We've all been given the gifts. You can't deny it. Use them. So, time does not permit to go on, but thank you for your input and for your reading. And so we'll have our...
We got
a few minutes here. So thank you. That's it.
Okay.
I mean, time's up.
Only 5 minutes.
No. Well, I got 5 minutes.
Yeah, you got 10.
Oh, I thought I'm sorry. I took it as 10 minutes late already.
No.
Okay. Okay. Lynette. Ephesians 4:1-7.
Yeah, I
want to
read.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought time was up. Ephesians 4:1-7.
Read. All right. I, therefore, prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift.
Very good. Please go back and read that one Lord, that those reference, one Lord, one faith, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all and through all and in all.
Seven different entities. Seven. So the scriptural math, seven equals one. Get it?
Mm-hmm. Seven.
Seven equals one. Scriptural math.
Seven is the number of perfection.
That's right. So I just wanted to bring that up.
You weren't going to fool me.
Okay. Yes. No. Okay, Sister Carla, your turn. Galatians 3. Verses 26 through 29. Galatians 3, 26 through 29.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye all are one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye all are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
I take that rendering of the Lord's word as God does not play favorites.
Right.
Those days are done. And the Jews were the last one as a nation to have that blessing, if you will. If God found favor in the Israelites, in the Jewish nation, at one time before they unfortunately blew it. And so, but today, that sentiment applies. God does not play favorites. In reality, he never really did. It's just that the Jews could not owe up to what they had promised to God. And same for us. Do we owe up to what we should be doing for God? But again, God is loving, he is kind, compassionate, and has made a way to make retribution, make reconciliation back to him. Reconciliation back to him. But again, it's like anything else. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like all of us who are on medication, and I'm going to take a guess that probably 95% of us take some kind of medication. All right? I'm just being real.
Yeah.
If we don't take that medication, you know it's going to affect you. Whether it's your blood pressure, kidney stone, whatever. The point is, you know that it does. There's no difference in the word. Use it to your benefit, and your well-being will be far better than you could possibly imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, like with any medication, like Kathy got some medication, and some of us who's have penicillin or stuff like that, when you get penicillin, the doctor requires you to take the whole course. Even though I'm feeling good over here, I can stop. No. Not good for you. It's not good for you. Take the whole course. Right? Yeah, admit it. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
They know what they're saying. God knows what he's saying. Take the whole course. All those verses that we just read has application to each and every one of us to this day. Okay, Jerry, Galatians 6:9, Brother Jerry.
Let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up.
Amen.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
How about that? How many of us get tired spiritually? How many of us get tired emotionally? Not physically? It's real. I mean, it's real. God knows that. He is very well aware of that. And so he has given us the tools, if you will, the medication, if I can really stretch the point, right here. It's written down, the recipe, if you will, right here. And yes, it takes effort, it takes time, but like we used the example of building a relationship. Oh, you find out that some of those weeks or months or whatever, however long it took to get to that relationship, it's well worth it. Well worth it. Because there is a certain kind of relief, if you will, knowing that someone's got your back, knowing someone will hear you and not judge you. Just listen. Kathy and I'm sure we're not the only ones, I'm sure. But there's some days, it's like a neon sign right here. Talk to me. I don't know these people. But they come up, but maybe that's why God put me there. Put us there. As if, you know, they needed someone to talk to. Okay? Listen. Don't be judgmental. Just ask God for guidance in that moment. Dear Lord, help me to know what to do, what to say, and if it means watch now, then do it. I'm just here to listen. Okay, how much time do I have now?
3 minutes.
Okay, Philippians 4, 1 through 9. Philippians 4, 1 through 9. All right, I'll read. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I'm sorry, Philippians 4. I'm sorry, I'm picking up at 4. I'm sorry. Philippians 4, 4. I'm sorry, Philippians 4, 4. Through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. There's your comfort. There's your peace. And you keep working at it, it'll turn to your joy.
Yes. And what's so cool, this has got to be on a t-shirt somewhere. Anxiety and prayer are two opposing forces.
Amen.
If you're anxious, pray about it. Pray about everything. Because in the Christian experience, you're not going to get it. You've got to leave it in God's hands. You've just got it. I love it.
And again, I'm just going to tag off of that where Sarai, before she was renamed Sarah, she was praying for a child, asking God for a child. And the short version is she couldn't wait. She took things in her own hands. And unfortunately, it didn't turn out very well. But she was finally blessed with a child. The lesson I learned from that is Wait on the Lord. His timing is always perfect. And no, we don't have to agree with it. It's not for us to agree with it. He's the one delivering it. It's always perfect in His time, in His measure, according to His good will. And we say, thank you, Lord, for even considering our position. I think time is up now, officially. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.